It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Yes, some things are worth fighting for, and we're surrounded by the fighters today. Sandy Rios live at the Phoenix Park Hotel at the annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row, 11th year, my 11th year to be here. And happened to run into a friend who happens to be known by a lot of people. It's Congressman Dave Bratt. Of course, he's a friend. He's a friend to the country. And it doesn't really matter that he's a personal friend to me, but he's a champion to this country. And he just happened by, and it's good to see you, Dave.
Hey, great to be on, Sandy.
Congressman, I'm so sorry.
No, you got it.
Congressman, all right, there's so much happening.
Yep.
And so let's just rat-a-tat-tat here.
Right.
Those immigration bills that are going to be introduced into the House, I don't know if they have been today, they're going to be introduced
today.
Tomorrow.
Two votes, Sanctuary City, Kate's Law.
Are any doubt that they'll pass?
No, I think we've got the whip on that. And the concern was we stripped out, those are kind of the two high-profile bills, and we stripped those out of the Interior Enforcement Bill, which is much broader and would do a lot more. And so there was some nerve, but Paul Ryan assured us all five bills that passed out of Goodlatte's Judiciary Committee last year never made their way to the House floor. So this year, all five bills, we got promise from the Speaker, they go through, and the wall. President Trump asked for $1 billion a couple months ago in the last budget, and Schumer said no. Right, $1 billion out of $4 trillion. And so that's embarrassing, and I think President Trump got a little ticked, and so he thought his New Yorker buddies would be a little bit better than they were, and they weren't. And so we got some good news. We got some momentum going.
All right, so those are good bills. And we have to talk about health care. My understanding on the health care bill is that in the Senate, there are a lot of things brewing.
Yep.
Ted Cruz has a proposal along with Mike Lee that states would, if they just offered one Obama exchange plan, then the free market could come in and offer other plans, which is a real bright, shiny place for this. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. If we can get that amendment, that's a big deal, right? Because then if you want your Obamacare, you can keep your Obamacare, right? And let that compete against the private sector alternatives, and I think everyone will win that one every time.
Well, where do you think, do you have any insight into where we are with that? I mean, is it going to be a killer for some of those?
That's the tough spot, but those guys are holding, and our guys just need to do much more offense, right? We promised. Oh, there's one of my heroes right there, Jeff Duncan. We promised full repeal, right? And so our guys just need to say that, right? Say we're not getting what we wanted either, right? We're compromising. All we want is one sphere where the free market can show up.
Meaning we conservatives, really honest-to-goodness conservatives, Freedom Caucus kind of conservatives.
Right, exactly.
All right, so I heard just briefly that Rand Paul, to his credit, has not just tanked this bill. He hasn't said, no way, I'll never. He has tried to work in good faith.
Yep.
And I heard him say this morning that he thinks he's come up with a way to separate it into two votes. I don't know what the details are. Do you know?
Yeah, it's kind of similar to the other piece. One is, let's just do a full repeal, right, on the healthcare side. And then the moderates and the liberals and the Democrats will vote. They want, there's big spending package attached to healthcare. So just have two separate votes. Let's do a full repeal.
I totally agree with that.
And then a whole second bill, let's just do the big spending bill. And then the Democrats and the moderates can vote on that. You know that'll pass. And that always passes in D.C.
But they have not been, Senator McConnell has not been, and the leadership in the House have not been willing to separate the issue so that there is a full repeal vote. No one wants to do that.
Right.
So why do you think Senator Paul thinks that actually that might happen?
Well, they need the health care bill to go through because no one's going to be doing somersaults on this bill in the first place, right? No one's going to be happy, right, with the outcome. It's going to be a compromise at best. But then tax reform is next. And the health care bill has $1 trillion in tax savings. We need to do tax reform to bring those tax rates down for the average American. And so we're waiting on $1 trillion there. So there's huge momentum. And Mitch knows that. And President Trump knows that. So they got to get something through timely.
So are you saying, yep. Am I hearing you say, the counselor says you're supposed to say that, did I hear you correctly,
right,
that you think they actually might separate it and vote up for an appeal?
I'm doubtful of something that good can come out of D.C., right? I don't want to get utopian, but something along that logic, right, in order to get the votes, the conservative votes. And by the way, you remember when the Freedom Caucus, right, held out on our piece?
I do remember that.
Until we got a little – and guess what the mainstream media never covered? We had 30 or 40 guys that were no. There were 70 liberals that were no.
I remember.
And no one reported this. No one knew, except for you. I mean, the conservatives reported it. Yeah. But the mainstream media, nothing, right? So 70 no votes. So you probably have that same dynamic in the Senate now. It's not being reported. There's probably a lot more no votes sitting there that want different changes than what we're talking about here.
Do you really think... I know that you're not in the Senate, but still, you guys talk. You talk amongst yourselves. Do you really, I honestly think that there'll be a vote before July 4th weekend?
Not before, but we're hearing rumors about agreeing on the framework by like tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and then they come back Tuesday, Wednesday for a vote. I mean, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, that would really be something.
Yeah.
Okay, which leads us to your bailiwick, because you're an economist, you're a professor of economics, the budget,
yep,
and all the debt ceiling and all of that. So
right.
What do you – the tax reform, I mean, that's
yep.
We could talk for hours on any of that.
Yep.
So give us an overview of
yeah.
What you think is going to happen.
Well, I'll just tie it all together because this is what's not being done in the coverage, right? So to do tax reform, you have to do another budget. So we have to pass a budget, and that's going to have reconciliation instructions in it. That's what allows us to do tax reform with just 51 votes in the Senate. So that has to happen. So then you're going to do tax reform. That's huge. If we don't do that, we might as well pack our bags and go home, right? So we want to bring the rates way down, get massive economic growth like Reagan and JFK and all that, and good times ahead, right? But right now, if the health care bill doesn't go through, we're short $1 trillion to do tax reform. And then in the House bill, we had this thing called the border adjustment tax, which was going to be a big 18% import tax,
that
et cetera.
Paul Ryan really wants,
right.
But nobody else seems to.
Right. So leadership wants it in the House only. Senate said it's dead. The White House, Mnuchin under Trump, says it's dead. So we think it's dead. But that's another $1 trillion that we're short. So on the budget, we're asking our leadership, like, please give us a little signal of where we're heading. Because I'm not going into this one and opening the doors. I'm on the budget committee. So we don't have to let this budget go until we know what it is we're doing. And so we're being assured, oh, yeah, we're going to have a great tax plan, just like we were going to repeal Obamacare. Right? And so I'm not taking anything on faith anymore. This is not a religious community, right?
Right, exactly.
This is politics in D.C.
That's right.
And so until I see it in writing... I want to see what tax plan are we actually going to implement before we open the gate to do it. Otherwise, we're going to end up with this health care product we see coming out of the Senate.
Well, this is the one area where it does seem like the administration has given more detail on what they have
yep.
in mind for taxes, don't you
yep.
think, than
yep.
other things?
Yep.
But it's not good enough yet, you don't think, in terms
well,
of detail.
We'll just see, right? I mean, so right now, the last thing we ever do in D.C. is cut spending. Well, why do you need to cut spending? Because if you're $2 trillion light, then you can't lower the rates, right? Without blowing the deficit wide open. I mean, trillions. And so I don't want to hear our leadership at the last minute cave and say, well, we can just lower the rate from 35 to 32. That won't do anything.
No.
Right? That's not dramatic enough to help us compete against the rest of the world. The average American won't feel it in their pocketbook. And so that's what I'm preempting, right? We want to see, hey, just... be clear, what exactly are we going to do in tax reform? Let us know, and then we'll green light it.
You know, I think one of the most powerful exhibit A's to use in this argument right now is
yep.
what's happening in Illinois, my home state.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Disaster.
Yep.
The last in the bond rating, going under,
yep.
unable to pay pensions, having the lottery withdraw.
Yep.
I mean, insolvency has consequences. The people
yep.
that I know in Chicago, that my friends, their taxes are going up, up, up. It's killing them. Some of them are having to sell their houses.
Right.
This is what happens
yep.
when you don't rein in spending.
Right, right. No, I mean, it's been shocking to me just watch Greece and all that, you know, and then Venezuela and Argentina and all these countries. And now right in our Illinois, going down the tube, eventually the private market speaks up, right? The bond market will speak up and say, nope, you're failing. You're going down. And so we better preempt that. That's what we're working on in the Freedom Caucus, and we're trying to save the country.
And there's no, and of course, the point has to be made that I don't know what's going to happen with Illinois, but I don't want this to happen, but probably the United States of America will step in and save the people of Illinois.
Yep.
But nobody will save the United States of America if
right.
we go under, and we
yep.
are close to doing that.
Yep.
All right, Congressman, I know you have lots of other commitments,
yep.
and it's so nice to see you always,
yep.
and good
yep.
luck. Hang in
thank
there.
Thank you. I will, and I just want to thank your audience. I know the faith community is so strong out, and you are so strong on that, and I just want to give a shout-out of thanks. That's what will ultimately save the country. Right? The economic thing is secondary. You first have to keep the faith, and all sorts of new things can come from on high. So thanks for doing what you did.
I think with man,
leader.
As the Bible, with man it is impossible.
Right.
With God all things are possible.
Possible. Yep.
So,
yep.
And I know you believe that, Congressman, and gives us courage.
Yep.
So,
yeah, if your folks want to go follow my email, it's davebratt.com, and I'll
okay.
keep you posted on tax and health care and all of it.
Davebratt.com. Davebratt.com. I think I've heard of that. All right.
All right,
thank
Sandy.
You so much,
right,
Congressman.
Thank you.
Take, give him heck.
I will.
All right. All right, thanks so much. All right, well, we're at the Radio Row here in Phoenix Park, and it's always a pleasure. And back, in fact, coming up next, we've got some really interesting stories. I'm going to take a break, and then I'm going to introduce the next guest to you, Steve Ronnebeck, as he sits down. And Adam, you can start the music, and when we come back, we'll talk to Steve about his story, because he's here to tell sort of a sad story about his personal life and what's happened to his family. We'll be back right after this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Hold their feet to the fire. That's what we're trying to do here at Phoenix Park Hotel. And certainly the beginning of that slogan was the fact that during the Bush administration, I will never forget when this all started, and it was the fact that the immigration laws, the Bush administration and the Congress, both branches, wanted to push amnesty. They wanted to grant amnesty to the millions of illegal immigrants who were here, and they weren't too keen on enforcing immigration laws either. They weren't as bad as Barack Obama, who has flouted them and caused us to be in great danger. That's a fact. But that's when it started, and we thought that they were going to put, in spite of what the American people wanted, they were going to push this through. And so radio really played a key role in this. Radio hosts got into this. From Rush Limbaugh to the rest of the pecking order, and we jumped in and generated calls, and the switchboards were shut down, and we stopped that. That's how Hold Their Feet to the Fire started, sponsored by FAIR, Federation for American Immigration Reform. So we've been here at the Phoenix Park Hotel ever since, every year, and there's an issue every year. We can never seem to pull the establishment across the line in terms of enforcing our immigration laws, building a wall, protecting this country. It's really kind of stunning. But there are real consequences. There are human consequences. We talked earlier about Brian Terry, the Border Patrol agent who was killed, but there are Kate Steinle, the young girl who was killed by an illegal immigrant with her family on the pier in San Francisco just a few years ago. That's just one case of a child or a person, a wife, a husband, being victimized by illegal immigration crime. And so my next guest knows a great deal about this, I'm sure, to his great sorrow. His name is Steve Ronnebeck, and he's from Phoenix. Phoenix, right?
Mesa, suburb of Phoenix, yeah.
Steve, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
You had a son named Grant.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us about Grant, first of all. Was he big like you?
He was tall. He was me about 30 years ago.
He looked like his dad.
He did. He was very, you know, skinny, lanky kid. Just, you know, he was just a great kid. Had a great smile. I think that's what so many people remember about Grant was his smile.
Yeah.
He could just brighten up a room, you know, just by his smile.
And was he'd finished high school in Mesa and
yes.
College?
No, I didn't go to college. He actually was working for Quick Trip. He was actually kind of making that his...
Quick Trip is a convenience store.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was actually making that his career at the time, but he was also looking into becoming law enforcement because of several customers. He usually worked evenings or overnights. He had several customers that were police officers, sheriff's officers. You know, at one point he was at a store that was in Pinal County, so... he made friends with several of Paul Babu's officers.
Oh, I've interviewed Paul. He's the sheriff there, just so people know.
Yeah, he was the sheriff there, yeah.
Oh, he got elected to... he didn't. All right, well, that's a sad story because I know he was running. All right, sorry, that's a side trip. But he got acquainted with him. He was a great guy, Paul Babu.
So,
also missing his hair.
Also missing his hair, yes. So Grant was actually exploring into the law enforcement thing. So,
all right, so what happened?
January 22nd, 2015, about 3:45 in the morning, a man came in wanted to buy cigarettes. He dumped a jar of change out on the counter. Grant started to count the change. Man says, what, you're not going to give me my cigarettes? Grant tried to explain to him, hey, I got to count your change. Man pulled a gun. Grant immediately gave him the cigarettes. And at that point, the man basically executed him and shot him point blank in the face. He then stepped over Grant's body and grabbed a couple more packs of cigarettes and walked out the door.
How old was Grant?
21.
And was he living at home with you guys?
Yes. He actually... I had recently gotten divorced from my wife, and Grant was actually paying about a third of our household bills just to help out so we'd have a little bit nicer house and a little bit better living circumstances for him and his brother.
How did you find out?
My ex-wife had called me at 6:30 in the morning, said, have you heard from Grant? And I was like, no. She said, well, something happened at his QT. I was like, okay. So I tried to call his cell phone and nobody answered. Tried to call the store and nobody answered. So my ex-wife had called back about that time. And she said, well, it's on the news. So I was at work. So I went ahead and got on the computer. And Fox 10, which is our local station there in Phoenix. And there it was, somebody had gotten killed at his store. It was big news. And I saw my car, his car, in the parking lot with the parking lot all taped off. So I went to my boss and I said, hey, I got to go. Something happened at my son's work. And it was about 3 miles away from my work. Didn't take me very long to get there. And when I got there, one of Grant's bosses was getting out of his car as I pulled up. And where's Grant? Where's my son? And he was just crying. Tears coming, and at that point I knew Grant was gone.
This is really, I can't believe I'm asking this question, but of course I'm kind of with you. You're painting that picture. I'm a mom, you know, you're a dad, I've got a son. So did you go into the store?
They wouldn't let me.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
No, I immediately hit the ground.
Yeah.
And the next thing I remember is I had... three very large Mesa police officers basically picking me up and getting me out of open. They didn't want the press to surround me and start asking questions, so they took me to their crime scene van and put me in there.
All right, so then, was the murderer caught, and what did we find out about him?
There was actually a witness in the store when it happened. And within,
someone there.
There was
so the guy
there.
Was just, he killed for no reason, and he wasn't even, was he on something?
They say he was probably under the influence of meth. So, but there was a witness in the store that had immediately gone outside, and the Quick Trips are frequent. Visited by Mesa police or the police departments, local police departments. We try to cater to them. They're just good people. There just happened to be a police officer that was just pulling into the parking lot within minutes after this man left. So the witness informed the police officer what was going on, gave him a description of the man and the man's vehicle. So they put it out immediately on the radio. They had another officer that actually stopped the man on the freeway within 10 minutes after it happened. And at that point, the man decided to flee, and he took a 26-mile high-speed chase. So they had him within an hour after it happened.
But they did capture him. Okay, yes. So who was that man?
His name is Apollinar Altamirano. He was... came here illegally at age 14. He got himself into drugs. He was a self-proclaimed member of the Sinaloa drug cartel and the Mexican mafia.
Oh, my goodness.
2.5 years prior to him killing Grant, he was actually arrested for doing a home invasion. Broke into a woman's home, him and another man. They held the woman that owned the home captive for a week, naked, repeatedly sexually abusing her for that week, filled her full of heroin for the week, and basically burglarized the home. He was able to turn around and plead that down to second-degree burglary, which is just above a misdemeanor.
What kind of a person was representing him? He's an illegal immigrant, and he does this, and he pleads it down?
Well, and we see this more and more all the time. I mean, a lot of these illegal immigrants that commit crimes, there's a street in Phoenix that you could drive down the street in Phoenix and there's probably 30 attorneys and big bold we deal with illegal immigration or illegal immigrants or whatever. They advertise it that they want to help the illegal immigrants and they make plea deals.
So that's a big business. So he pleads it down. Is he in prison? What happened with him?
Well, for that crime he never did a day in prison. They let him off with probation.
That's unconscionable.
Well, and then, he was out on a $10,000 ICE bond. He was on day 745 of his ICE bond.
Meaning he paid bond, and it's the immigration enforcement, so it was okay, it was legal because he'd paid bond.
His deportation hearing never even was scheduled.
All right, so, we don't have to figure out how you feel about that. So, but my question is, can't there be something done? Can't he be sued? Can't someone be sued for malpractice? Isn't there anything that you can do?
Well, I'll be honest. When this happened, I explored the possibility of suing President Obama at the time and the...
Yeah, because they were doing nothing. They didn't care. All of these victims, they just, like Kate Steinle, which was the most famous, but no less egregious.
Absolutely.
And they didn't care. It was just a big yawn.
Well, and the worst part of it is I must have contacted 5 or 6 attorneys, and I found one that would actually talk to me. I spent 2 or 3 days going into his office talking to him. And it came down to he wanted to try the case and sue the administration and sue ICE. But it came down to this nasty little word. It's called discretion. So discretion is what they hide behind. And discretion is what Jay Johnson and a lot of the officials in the Department of Homeland Security, they were hiding behind discretion. So a
father whose son is so brutally murdered really had no rights. An illegal immigrant in the courts had tremendous rights, was pled down, he didn't even do time, then he's free to kill your son. And now, I still don't know, what's going on now?
Well, right now he's sitting in jail. We have not gone to trial yet. Trial's coming up supposedly in September. He's being charged with death penalty. Right now we're just in the preliminary of the trial.
But you've got to live through all of that. I know I have friends actually who've had there. I had a good friend whose son was murdered, and the length of time and the ordeal of going to trial and the dismissal of evidence and then having to go back again. It's another tragedy altogether.
Well, and I'll tell you, in Kelly Ward, who's joined us, Kelly Ward actually went to the last hearing with me, and her eyes were opened at this, because what's happening now is this man's defense team is trying to claim that he's mentally retarded because he only got a fourth grade education.
All right, there you go.
So it's a game, and what they're trying, At one point, the defense had put in a plea proposal, and the prosecuting attorney has decided they don't want to take it at this point. Basically, what they're doing is a lot of these illegal immigrants and a lot of the criminals don't get an education, or they don't get past third, fourth grade. So we want to make sure that this doesn't set a precedent, that's how these criminals are going to get away with it. We don't want them to be able to come over here, commit a crime and say, oh, yeah, sorry, I'm mentally retarded. I only got a third or fourth grade education. I wasn't smart enough to know what I was doing.
Kelly, hang on one second. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. And then when we return, I'm going to have you introduce that person that you mentioned who's just joined us, because nobody knows that she's there yet. Okay. But they'll recognize her voice. And I'm going to have you actually introduce her when we take this break. All right, so this is Sandy Rios coming to you live from Radio Row at the Phoenix Park Hotel. We'll be right back after this.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you, and my guest is Steve Ronnebeck, whose son Grant was murdered by an illegal immigrant. It's just a tragic story. If you just didn't, and I didn't even say to you, Steve, because I was thinking about the bad part about radio is you have to think about so many things when you're talking to someone, and I don't want to minimize your loss. My heart goes out to you. I actually lost a daughter myself, and
sorry.
I don't want to minimize in any way your loss. But you're making the most of this loss, which I think is what we have to do. When this kind of tragedy happens to us, then we have to look for ways to redeem. That's what God does, and that's what people can do too, in His image. And so, Steve, you are very active now, I know, in a campaign. And so I'm going to let you introduce our next guest. I know her because I've interviewed her several times. But I want to have you introduce her because you guys are neighbors. You live in Mesa. So you know all about what she's doing.
Yeah, actually, Kelly Ward is here with us. Kelly has decided to give me the honor of heading up one of her coalitions, her illegal immigration coalition. Kelly has been just a great supporter of what I do. We've become good friends, and her family is just awesome. I can't say enough.
Well, and we have to say that Dr. Kelly Ward is running for Senate in Arizona. And the reason her name is familiar to my listeners is because she challenged John McCain, nearly beat him. Got 51% of the vote, right, Kelly?
He did. He did. He got 51. We held him to 51.
But okay.
Yeah. But on Election Day, I actually got 51% of the vote. Early voting, not quite enough to be able to get over that hurdle.
All right. So now there's another opening for Senate because his protege, who is the other senator, and he is his protege. He handpicked him.
He is.
Is running. Oh, gosh, his name.
I'll tell you.
Too many things on my mind.
Sanctuary Senator Jeff Flake.
Jeff Flake.
Sanctuary Senator, yeah.
Jeff Flake made the news recently in a big way because he was present at the shooting of Steve Scalise.
Yes.
And I've never seen Jeff Flake so tender and soft. He's always on the wrong side of the issues from my perspective. But everyone's heart goes out to him for the ordeal that he faced there. But, of course, now it's back to business what he actually does.
And I'm very thankful that he was there, that he's okay, that really almost everyone is okay, and that Congressman Scalise is on the path to healing.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not running against Good Samaritan Jeff Flake. I'm running against bad Senator Jeff Flake. And one of the reasons, you know, Steve and his family have gone through so much, and they should never have had to go through it, because the person who killed Grant should never have been in our country. And if he had been held accountable for the horrific crimes that he had committed 2 years prior, he wouldn't have been on the streets. He wouldn't have been in the convenience store to be able to commit yet another heinous crime. And one thing that Steve was mentioning, and I think this is something that's really important, your listeners should really key in on it, is that the defense attorneys that are trying to keep illegals here are utilizing a technique to say that these people are intellectually or disabled, that they are not smart enough to be able to know. Now, the thing that's interesting is that if an American citizen makes that claim, then there can be an investigation into their background. People can go and talk to their friends and former teachers and places where they've worked before. But if an illegal alien uses that defense, we can't go into Mexico and find out about where they went to elementary school or high school, what jobs they held before. That's not allowed. And so you just have to basically take the word of the defense attorney and the expert that they get to do an IQ test on the people. And as a physician, I'll tell you, IQ tests can be gamed, especially on the downward side. The upward side, it's a little bit harder to game. But to go down in an IQ test, it is it's pretty easy. And we can't allow that to spread across our country.
You're seeing a pattern of that in Arizona?
Well, they're setting a precedent, mm-hmm. I think, with this very case, because it's been almost 2 years that they've been going through these preliminary hearings. At the beginning of the hearing, because we don't want to try people who are not competent, who are mentally deficient. That's in our code of conduct in our judiciary. But instead of upholding that as something that's good, the lawyers are using it as a tactic to try to get people off so that they aren't held accountable for small crimes and horrific crimes like murder, the murder of Grant.
All right, Kelly, be very explicit. You know, okay, sometimes I'm sure I do this too. We blame all kinds of things on the left or on leftist Republicans, but I'm asking you to give me concrete things that Jeff Flake has done, Senator Jeff Flake, to contribute to this situation.
Right. Well, I mean, he's an open borders amnesty senator. He has been unwilling to secure the border. He's fighting against Donald Trump's efforts to build the wall and secure the border. He, as soon as he got into the United States Senate, joined the Gang of Eight with John McCain and Marco Rubio and Chuck Schumer, and they conspired, really. Their plan was to allow people to come here and to allow the people who were here to have amnesty and enjoy this great country, even though they broke in. I'll tell you that if someone steals a car and then they get caught, their kids don't get to keep the car. If they break into a bank and they rob a bank, the family doesn't get to keep the money. So if someone breaks into our country and their kids are with them, why do we reward them with the benefits of citizenship and actually sometimes even more than what American citizens are entitled to?
Kelly, as you're campaigning this cycle, and of course, you're just getting started. I mean, the primary is, what, a year from August?
Yes.
So it's you got a long way to go. But, Chris, these things come more quickly than we expect.
They do.
But is this an issue you're leading with? Is it the immigration issue? Is that resonating with the people of Arizona?
Yes, it definitely is. I'll say that the number one thing that people are disgusted with Jeff Flake about is that he did not support President Trump. And the number two issue is his lackadaisical stances on the border and on stopping illegal immigration.
Steve mentioned in the last segment that you came with him at a recent hearing. What did you learn?
Wow, just how they have to fight with words. I mean, the two lawyers were basically sparring with words. And for me as a physician, I can see concrete evidence of when I'm helping someone and when whatever it is not working. But they just have to kind of spar with words. And to watch the defense attorney and to watch the defendant who was sitting right there, in front of me and know what he did, when this incident is on tape, they are trying to do everything that they can to keep that tape from ever being shown.
Can they stop it?
Well, if they say he was incompetent, then it probably won't come out and they'll have to settle for some kind of plea bargain. It's all because it's a capital case and he's eligible for the death penalty. And so if it weren't a death penalty case, I think a lot of these shenanigans would not be on the table. And so it really is eye-opening, and you were right, because we're supposed to, the victims are supposed to have a right to a speedy, and the defendant to a speedy trial, but this is certainly not speedy. If this is speedy, then we are in big trouble in our country.
You know, Steve, you'd think that, the Freedom of Information Act would allow you to sue to have that video, and that should be all over the news in Arizona. You don't want to see it. They could black out parts of it. I mean, would that be too hard for you?
Well, and I'll be honest. First thing is, Grant's death was preventable.
Yep.
Okay, the whole situation, any one of these deaths, Brandon Mendoza, they're all preventable. I actually had to get an attorney to keep the video from coming out, because the problem is if you release the video, then everyone in the world sees it, and then.
Then they can't find juries?
Right.
Jurors?
They're biased. Yeah. Yes.
Then they're biased.
Okay.
So then you have a mistrial or you have change of venue.
But the video could come out in court, and that's what I mean. They don't want that video to come out in court.
Oh, no, they don't. It's the video and a witness. I mean,
Arizona used to be a pretty conservative state. Used to be. As I understand, before the Californians started coming. But are the courts so corrupted? I know John McCain is corrupt. You heard me say it right here. And he has brought in Jeff Flake. He spent a ton of money. I know. Listen, he came to Illinois, which was my home state, after he lost the presidential election, bought in bucket loads of money, and handpicked Mark Kirk, who was a nightmare in the Senate. I know what he's done to our country. And he had a plan to replace all the good senators with senators in his own mold, like Jeff Flake. So,
well, why do you think they wanted to keep Thad Cochran so badly down in Mississippi? I mean, he's older than John McCain. He, I don't think, has made a meaningful vote in years and years and years, but he's got longevity and power through being there, being a senior senator, and it's ridiculous. I think that's one of the reasons our country has been going in the wrong direction for so long, is these people that have been in Washington for most of their adult life.
No question about it. So the question I was leading to was then, if your courts become corrupt also in Arizona, is there justice available in Arizona?
Well, our biggest problem is the Ninth Circuit Court. And Kelly and I had a conversation last night about this, that, the Ninth Circuit Court services Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona.
I'm not sure if New Mexico is in there with us or not.
Okay. So anyway, you have three of the most liberal states, Washington, Oregon, and California. A lot of these judges, a lot of these lawmakers are coming from those three states. So, yeah, the Ninth Circuit Court is also the largest court.
Yes.
So, I mean,
it's also the most overturned by the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Don't forget that. About 85% of the time
they're
overturned.
Right.
So they aren't doing a very good job.
As a matter of fact, just this week overturned with those immigration, stopping the Trump's immigration travel orders.
I'm not going to sit here and say they're corrupt, because I don't know. Okay, I'm not a lawmaker. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. So I can't say they're corrupt. Are they extremely liberal? Absolutely. And I think that's the thing is we have a problem with is right. that they're liberal.
Well, and our lawmakers have some ability to help us in that. Now, whenever you look at, because Jeff Flake sits on the judiciary, he confirmed Loretta Lynch, okay, a person who said that the Constitution is basically a living document to be interpreted at the whim of the Supreme Court, rather than that it says what it says and it doesn't say what it doesn't say. He also was one of three Republicans that confirmed Judge Orrick, who Judge Orrick is one of the people that put a stay on the executive travel order. And he also, by the way, stopped the Center for Medical Progress from exposing Planned Parenthood and putting their videos out from their conference. So this guy is a big Obama donor. He was a big John Kerry donor. And despite that, Jeff Flake was still willing to be one of three Republicans, only three Republicans that voted to put him on the bench. So the activism, it might not be corruption, but it's activism at the judicial level that we have to put a stop to.
Well, so we just have a second left here, Steve, but you are now operating within Kelly's campaign, working for her and trying to make the case for family members of victims. I bet there are lots in Arizona.
Oh, absolutely. I've also become a member of AVIAC, which is the new advocates for victims. You know, there are lots. And again, one of the figures I like to tell is since 9/11 happened, there have been over 63,000 American citizens killed by illegal immigrants, and that's since 9/11. Now, the Vietnam War, we only lost a little bit over 58,000.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that's a stunning statistic.
It is.
Steve Ronnebeck, thank you for what you're doing. So sorry that you had to lose your son. But we just pray that God will use this grief in your life to do something that will stop the future killing, death, destruction, rape, murder, whatever, of our citizens by illegal immigrants. And Kelly, we wish you all the best with your contest running in Shipwreck.
Thank you, Sandy.
All right, this is Sandy Rios from the Phoenix Park Hotel. Hold their feet to the fire.